it happens to bread. Now we know in ancient symbolism, ancient mythology, the snake is a symbol of fertility. It is a symbol of the creation cycle, survival. The serpent, when it gets cold, he hibernates. When it gets warm, he comes back to action, comes back into activity, right? He can survive all kinds of conditions. He has a terribly long age. And many other mysteries about him that we won't go into. The serpent without legs can go up a tree. The serpent without legs can go across the country. You see? So a serpent without legs can go horizontal and can go vertical without legs. Now, what is it without legs that have freedom of movement in all kinds of dimensions? It's our intellect, the human intellect. I can sit it up a tree without legs. I can sit it into the ground without legs. I can sit it across country without legs. Now, when it becomes a blind serpent, that means my intellect has unlocked the rhythm of the atmosphere. Then it can take wings, and as the scriptures say, become a flying serpent. Fly the air. Right? Yes, I hope some of you can follow what I'm saying. But if you can't follow me in all that I'm saying, the trip is very adventurous, isn't it? So he puts the serpent on a pole and raises it up, showing it dead on the pole, meaning that intellectual arrogance on your part, intellectual jealousy on your part, will render your mind dead. And he raised it up as a sign to remind his people after he educated them to that particular thing. After educating them to that particular behavioral risk on the part of their intellect, then he put a sign up there that has a message in symbol form. And you know what the Chinese philosopher said? One picture is worth 1,000 words. Or did he say 10,000 words? Yes. So he raised the symbol up and said, when any man, listen, that when any man had that problem, if he just looked on that symbol that Moses raised, he was healed. Now, don't they tell us, look on Jesus and be healed. So here is the value in that symbol that I quoted to most early part of this talk. It's cathartic benefit. It's power to purge the conscience and to quicken thought and memory and moral sentiment to make them stir again in the person. So what does the book say? The book says, as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Isn't that what the book says? What does it mean? It means Moses raised the serpent up to speak to a defect in the intellect of his people. Arrogance. Emotional rage. Intellectual jealousy. As the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. All right? Now, so what does that Jesus mean on the cross then? There's a defect in the morals of people. And isn't that why Christianity based itself? That man is created in sin? Right. That this is an inherent or natural defect he inherits from Adam, his first father? So they say that we are inherently given to sin. And we need something to redeem us. The thing that redeems us is showing us a guileless person, a spotless person in terms of sin. Yes, sir. his righteousness. And that makes our offensiveness go to him, even though we are sinners. And in our offensiveness going to him, our being is transferred to his image.
Right.
And we become one in Christ on the cross.
Right.
And we begin to recall what Jesus, the new self, represents when we're getting involved in crime and immorality. And those that still hold the image in their conscience will say, "Forgive me, Lord." Right? Forgive me, Lord. But look, I said in the early part of the talk also that a tree is known by the fruit it bears. And we find that wherever the image has been established, there is the greatest amount of homosexuality. There's a great amount of behavioral perversion. There's a greater amount of killing, robbing, stealing, and brutalizing, and mutilating the flesh of human beings. So it has an effect of appealing to the conscience of the people and making them feel sorry for that, but it also feeds perversion in the human being. And we find the people, and I hate to mention their names, but a lot of my witness, I love them as much as I love my own family, and that's the Hispanic people, the Mexican people. We find that they are more Christian than hardly anybody in this hemisphere.
Right.
But we find that they are the people that mutilate each other also more than anybody in this hemisphere.
Right.
They cut each other up, they shoot each other up, they just cruelly slice the body of each other on the weekend, on Friday and Saturday. Is that not a pattern? You thought we were the slicers? They got us beat. They got us beat. Now, if that image is also feeding perverted behavior in the person, then we must weigh the two together and look at the benefit. But let me go on to finish this fair talk. And believe me, it won't be 8 hours. I have talked 11 hours, I think.
Take your time.
I'm getting old now, man. My feet are already hurting. Okay. Let us look now at two things here, two points here right now. One is this. The promise in religion. What is the promise in religion? Jesus said, "I talk to you, I speak to you in parables now. But however, or howbeit, there come a time I'll speak to you in plain language." Isn't that the gospel? That's the gospel. So, what does that tell me? If the cross represents a symbolic way of reaching the conscience of people in order to preserve their moral nature and moral interests or moral concerns, then the Bible tells me that there's coming a time when symbols, riddles, symbols, parables are going to be pushed back and out of the way as a veil opening up for the light. And the knowledge shall come to us in plain language that all of us can understand. In other words, that wording in Scripture promises us what America and the West has tried to deliver. And what is that? Public education. Equal access to knowledge. And America is blessed right now, isn't it, to make college education available to all of its citizens who qualify for it. Isn't it? Yes. We have a little dark period, a little dark period right now, because of certain allowances, certain funds that were available for students are not available now. But the commitment is still there. And students that qualify are still getting assistance, aren't they? Yes, whether they be black, red, or poor. In fact, the poor are the ones that they recognize. Okay, so America's committed to that. And the Bible, if you understand it, if you understand the whole mystery that's centered or focused in Jesus and the cross, then you understand that the promise is given in that particular New Testament expression, I speak to you now in parables. If someone speaks to you in parables, it's like speaking to you in riddles. It's like speaking to you in concepts that you don't understand. Parables need interpretation. But he says, howbeit, the time will come when I will speak to you plainly. Isn't that the New Testament? Okay, well, those who understand it know that this is a promise. The promise that man recognizes as a divine promise, or as divine will, that everybody will one day have the opportunity to see the reality of their purpose, their dignity, their destiny, their potential in this life, in this world. Now, I won't go into the Islamic view on this particular idea, but I will simply say this, that was answered in Muhammad, peace be on him, because education became an obligation on every male and female. And no one was discriminated against when it came to divine knowledge. In Prophet Muhammad, priesthood was abolished, and everybody had equal footing when it came to an opportunity to get the word of God and also the knowledge of that word. That was established in Prophet Muhammad's time. And over a period of less than 15 years, he brought what was described as dark age, ignorant masses, warring fools and games, to be the model of civilization and enlightenment for the whole then world. So that's where we will stop there. We will stop there. You might say, well, why is the your community of Muslims internationally in such a shambles now, Mr. Imam? Or you might say, dude, you know, you may say anything in this nigger situation. You may say anything. The reason for that is because Jesus Christ was a sign of Muhammad being crucified, not as a man, but as a mission. Jesus was a sign of what will come after him. Most of us think that Jesus himself was crucified. In our religion, you don't know he wasn't crucified, but it's only a sign that really that something was substituted in his place. It's a substitute. It's a transference of your reality to the image. And you put into his image on the cross. Actually, your intellect is crucified on the cross, along with the word of God that's double crossed. Yes. Stephen, Jesus represents the word of God in his physical body, double cross on the double cross that he is put on the cross, crucified on the cross. And by you attaching yourself or putting yourself in the image, then you have identity in the image, therefore you are cross. Right? And you are cross wrong. Because now you can't even muster up the raw courage to demand dignity for yourself in the world. Right. So you are cross wrong. But by the fact that you are cross morally and in that image, you are also cross intellectually. Because without moral life, you will never come into the rational spot. It's impossible. The rational spot comes in the moral body. That's why light illumined in Jesus. Because he was a moral body. That's where the light illumined, in the moral body. And since you don't have access to interpretation of the word of God, you will put off intellectually. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope we can hurry up and proceed with this and close on. I hope you can do it.
Take the riddle, brother.
The promise then is to bring enlightenment to the world. So if enlightenment is to come to the world, and Jesus in, as a sign represents the quickening of moral process that creates a good situation for the quickening of rational process, then if he has to go away, what is meant by that? In the New Testament, he says, it is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. Now, what is he, the comforter?
Yeah.
But the scripture also says another counselor, doesn't it? Another counselor. And God will give you another counselor. So he's speaking of that another counselor, his comforter. He says, if I go that way, the comforter will not come unto you. Now what reconciles human life? What brings it into harmony? What rest is it? What feeling of confidence? Moral fortitude. But that won't last forever. It's expedient that that go away. You have to stop depending on law right along. You have to be blessed with insight into the material composition of the world and the sciences that that material composition holds and the power that it has out to the man of science for raising his life above a moral bed of consciousness to a rational height. So man has to take up his spiritual state. I raised my spiritual flag here. The principle here, the orientation here, the theory here, the orientation here is moral excellence. And he lasts so long. And the people say, we can't stand these material conditions. Something's lost in your leadership. There's something lacking in your leadership. So we love you, you sweet ass can be. But Father, you got to go. He had the moral vision, but he was lacking the scientific vision of how to deal with material and economic and moral and territorial power. See, one vision opens up all of this. And when the next one opens up, in order to be successfully hit, it has to also be diverse. Therefore, Jesus said, you don't see me, I go away, and you see me no more. It was never the end. Isn't that right? Meaning that when rational enlightenment comes, when scientific enlightenment comes, if I'm not there, God didn't do it.
That's right. The Creator.
And if I'm not there, it won't be successful.
That's right.
Now look at the scientific training that this breath has come into. But look at the consciousness. The human hunginess on their part. They don't look at it still when we see the history of the movement of America, the West, in human life. When we look at how human life has suffered, how human life has been abused, how human life has been unjustly suppressed, totally polluted, crushed under the weight of a city that was designed with respect for the human needs.
Right.
So we look at all that, we say, yes, they have a technology. Mm-hmm. But they were prompted when it came to raising the human energy. Is that right?
Yeah.
So that tells me that they didn't have Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And Jesus said, I go away. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.
That's right.
But he said, I have to go away. That's
tell me that if Jesus died, not only did we lose Jesus the prophet from this world, Ethiopian, but this world that followed will also left lost the life that he brought.
Right.
Because he said, as long as I live in the world, I'm the light of the world.
That's right.
Now you would say, yes, it seems that as long as Jesus is in our heart, the moral light will stay on. I don't think so. Because Jesus, as you have conceived him, haven't kept the moral light on. If the moral light was kept on,
right,
how come they discarded us, disregarded us,
right,
and wrote us off as an inferior thought, as tough human people? And they sold us as they sold horses and mules, and treated us worse than they did horses and mules. Used our bodies for their sport on the weekend. Tortured us for sport. Put cigars and white whiskey and laugh and yawn. Stained us, tortured, whipped, beat, or put you back against each other. Let them beat their brains out. For 40 rounds. They fight 10 rounds now. They used to fight 40 rounds back then. Put two back together, let them fight for 40 rounds. Beat each other to death with their fists. For their sport. That means that those people had been deprived of their human intelligence. If this was possible under the image, then the image did not have the same effect that Jesus had. That didn't happen in Jesus' life, did it? When Jesus was with the people, did they treat each other like that? He went along the town, he went along the ways of the town, and he was able to draw people away from cruelty, wasn't he?
Right.
He said, oh, that suffering man there in the street, don't walk around him. Pick him up. Jesus said, I'll pick him up myself. You want to pick him up? I'll pick him up myself. He demonstrated what this was supposed to do. And that's what a human being was supposed to do. So if that same concern, if that same power was in America, was in the West, then tell me what?
Wrong.
The West, Europe, and America to treat human beings as cruelly as they treated us over a period of better than 100 years and then. Well, 200 years, and then another 100 years of blessing.
Right.
Jim Crow and lynching. But I tell them that it wasn't there. Now, what is it saying? It's telling that it's got that God will send you another prophet. In the seeing that I go away. Well, if I don't, the prophet will not come unto you. Prophet Muhammad is the answer to that.
Right.
Now, you all deal with personality too much before that's the way this Western culture has conditioned you.
Right.
That's the way it has orientated your mind and your emotions. You identify too much with physical body, a physical person. You identify too much with a film. You have to be able to identify the meaning that the symbol is nothing but an encasing form, a frame form.
Break the riddle, man.
Prophet Muhammad, be the on him. He came and he represents the second comforter. But he also represents the Jesus principle too. He says in the Quran, God says of him, I have lived a whole lifetime with you. And we know his lifetime was 40 years. 40 years prior to the coming of the revelation. Is that right? Now, what does that 40 years symbolize? It symbolizes the moral excellence of Prophet Muhammad before his life had dawned in him. God gifted him as a prophet and taught him, made him educated, and there's the very word of the language when God, and there's a very word for the language, when God spoke to him, tells us that it was an education, an education, an educated process. He said to Prophet Muhammad, read. And Prophet Muhammad, I can't read. God says again, he said, read. Then again, Prophet Muhammad, he said, read, O Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad began to read.
He said, read, O Muhammad.
Is that in the scripture too? Yes. The scripture says there'll come a time when there'll be a famine. And it won't be a famine of food, it'll be a famine of hearing the word of God. This is Bible. It says, and darkness will engulf the whole world. This wasn't Muhammad called in what they call the dark ages, when darkness engulfed the whole world. It says, and darkness will engulf the whole world. Then if one will come with the word, the scripture, and they will go to one and they will say, would you read this for me? Then that person will say, I'm sorry I can't read this. I'm not a man or a person of letters. Meaning that they have to be educated in the knowledge of how to read the script, the book. So then he would take it to another one, a learned person. And he would say, will you please read this for me? This is Bible. And that person will say, sorry, it is sealed. Meaning that it is sealed on the symbolic interpretation. And he does not have to invite, he does not have to do it in his great life. Even though he's the elder.
Yeah.
He cannot break the rules. So Allah makes us from the heart. And he said, read what? I can't read. Read again. I can't read. Read the third time. He began reading. Then he told him, oh, you wrapped up in your mantle. Allah is the one that did it. Allah is the one that did it. So he educated him, and then told him to come out of the wrapping of your oppressive color. Oh, you and your master, wrapped up in your master. Rise, Lord, who are peace and light in the world. One from among the universe, given the spark of enlightenment, and then guided by God step by step until it's completed. Now, this is a miracle. This is a natural phenomenon. Not only a miracle, this is a natural phenomenon. Yes. And in our religion, God has shown us this as a natural phenomenon. And that's what Jesus was saying in the confession. But he said, it's seeing that I go away. Meaning that this thing, though it's created by God, it's a behavior principle of nature.
It's
in the and this dawning of morality and the dawning of the intellect inside the moral body, the excellent moral body, is a necessity.
Yes.
It is a physical, natural phenomenon, as well as divine will.
Yes.
So, let us see if we can go a little further. Let us see now, has that been fulfilled in the crucifixion? We go now to the idea of the Last Supper.
Well, that's all good.
Now look, in the Last Supper, who then is it? 12 men under what? Is that right? 12 disciples or apostles under one messenger of God. What do they represent? They represent the spiritual kingdom. They represent the sky, the heaven. The sky and the heavens are symbolic of man's spiritual aspiration.
Yeah.
So what did Jesus still represent for the people? He represented a community that promised Matthew a new life, but didn't he promise us a new life? He didn't give it by his day. He said that he prayed, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that right? And he goes on, thy kingdom come, not here.
Right.
So he prays for daily bread, and he prays for the kingdom, right? To come down from heaven. But if he on earth, and he means to heaven. So this table represented the heavenly aspiration. When we look at the heavens, what do we see up there? A vibrant sea. At night, you look at the sky, oh, it looks so beautiful, doesn't it? So wide, so healthy. Things are up there, only arrangements, and they move so heavily, and they're so dependable. You can practically throw the game back the same time. Those sweetheart moves. You're going with so far. Maybe I ought to be a little late tonight. I'm going to be bound pretty late. Hey, it's fun, you know, at night you get bound more, you get tired, bored, night. You know, I want to be more fun. We get a period. You get up, you wake. Hey, boy. You still do your own bed, like I worked a little early. Same time you get there. Oh, baby. Oh, please, make a man. Is that right? Give me a fucking arm over there. You're a kid in a day, kid in a mile, and then 2 months, you can't see more.
Thank you.
Yes, all of the things I know in his mind. And he is with the Lord. And he draws all the spirit out of the people of the Gentiles into the very life. And it is very painful and real way of dropping the gift of the ministry.
Thank you. I'm not going to do it. Thank you.